Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, this morning it's our heart that says, our Jesus, we love you. Father, we're so thankful for the pardon that's been granted to us. We're so unworthy, and yet you still provided that pardon for us. And Father, even now as our pastor comes to preach your word, we would just pray for your spirit to fill this place. I pray that you will empower our pastor to preach your word with authority. And Father, may your word just come alive to us this morning. Make it real to us. Father, help us to open our hearts and minds to receive it. And Father, not only to receive it, but to put it in action this week. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. I sure do love Second Mile Church. And I sure do love Jesus. And I want to talk for a little while about Him this morning. We finished up our Glory in the Church series last week. And I'm going to get started on another series called Lost Things. We're going to be in Luke 15. But this Sunday, I decided to go a little bit different direction. And then next Sunday, you don't want to miss next Sunday. We're going to have an ordination service. Ordination council at 7, ordination service at 7. We're going to be ordaining a man, Derek Simonis, to the gospel ministry, and ordaining three of our deacons, and our ordained men will be meeting at 7. If you're an ordained man here, just let me know or let Taryn know that you want to be here for that council at 7, and we'll have a little breakfast for you. Mike may be touching on this. I'm probably stepping on his toes, but I'm going to be preaching a sermon kind of along those lines next Sunday. You don't want to miss next Sunday. Is 9 o'clock too early? I decided to kind of start that Lost Things sermon series in a couple of weeks. But this morning, if you have a Bible, we're in John 14. Very familiar text of Scripture. And maybe, I don't know, maybe this sermon's for me this morning. Soothing words for troubled hearts. And while you're finding that, let me just kind of open the sermon with this. Trouble comes in many different forms. Trouble comes in a lot of different ways. You know, we said before that, you know, you're either getting ready to come into trouble, you're right smack dab in the middle of trouble, you're coming out of trouble. But, you know, one minute, isn't it amazing how many different forms and fashions of trouble is in our life, right? I mean, one minute everything's fine, everything's peaceful and serene, and the next minute everything's falling apart, and we've got fear and doubt, you know, knocking on our door and threatening our well-being, and, you know, trouble comes in a lot of different ways. I mean, it may be an illness or a sickness or some type of disease. It may be just bad health in general. It may be a financial difficulty. It may be a relationship that's gone south. It may be a host of things. It could be a pandemic. It could be racial injustice. It could be social unrest. It could be maybe a friend or a family member has betrayed you. Trouble comes in a lot of different ways. Maybe it's a demon of depression or loneliness or some type of trouble. But I want to tell you, this life that we live in is full of trouble. And maybe death has come to your door lately. Our great enemy. And is troubling your heart today. Well, my brother, my sister, we have some great news for you today. There are three tremendous truths in this passage in John chapter 14, 1 through 3. You're going to need to hang your hat on because trouble's coming. And these three truths will not only soothe your troubled heart, but they'll set you free. Do I need to pass out some $5 bills or what? I mean, this is tremendous, tremendous hope and help for us this morning. So let's look at it. We won't stand this morning. We've been up and down several times, and that's okay. But you just honor God's word the best way you can, all right? With a response like that, maybe we do need to stand up. Honor God's word the very best way you know. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whoo, glory to God. There's three truths I want to jump on here for us this morning and claim them for troubled hearts. First of all, God's people have a new peace. God's people have a new peace. Say peace with me. Peace. You may be in a storm right now and need some peace. Well, I want to tell you, we have a God who provides peace that passes all understanding. Here it is. Jesus tells his disciples, you believe in God? Man, believe in me. Trust also in me. That's what he's saying. You see, the disciples believed in God, but Jesus was calling for them to trust in him. And that's a little bit different deal. You know, everybody says, well, I 97% of Americans say, I believe in God. But it's something totally different to say, I trust in Jesus. And for those of us who have placed our trust and total faith in Christ, there is a peace that passes all understanding. And it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is telling them basically, listen, guys, I know what he's telling his disciples. I know what I'm doing. I'm going away. I've got a purpose in going away. And once I accomplish that purpose, I'm going to come again and take you and so you can be with me. Just trust me. You know, the disciples, as I think about them, had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had... They'd been with him. They'd seen him under every circumstance and situation. And they could trust him. They'd seen him heal the leper. They had seen Jesus preach like there's no tomorrow to the masses. They had seen him touch the demon-possessed and make them whole. He had even raised the dead. They had seen Jesus in every circumstance and situation that you could find a man in. And they could trust him. They had every reason to trust him. He had never let them down. And yet Jesus had told them, I'm going away. And where I'm going, you can't come. And they'd already heard that one of them was going to betray him. They'd already heard from Jesus that one of the disciples was going to deny him. And he'd been talking about that, and now he tells them, I'm going away. You guys have been with me for 3.5 years, and we've done ministry together, blah, blah, blah. But where I'm going, you can't go. And y'all, they had placed their hopes and dreams. They had left their families, their homes, their occupations, everything to follow Christ because they had placed all their hopes and dreams in Him. And now he's going away. He's leaving them. And couldn't get to them. And so their hearts are troubled, but they had every reason to trust him. What about you today, friend? Do you know Jesus? Let me just remind you, he's God. He is God. Does Jesus know what he's doing? Absolutely, he knows what he's doing. Can he be trusted? Yes, he can be trusted. Of course he can. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he knows what's happening to us. And he's able to deal with all. Jesus knows all about our struggles. And he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like... Don't you just love these old songs? Because I'm an old man, I guess. But I want to tell you, Jesus knows about everything that's going on in your life. And he knows what's about. And when sorrows like sea billows roll, we have someone to run to, and his name is Jesus. And he provides peace in the midst of the storm if you will just trust him. Trust him. I could go on and on right there with that, but let's look at this second truth there in verse 2. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." The second truth that I think we can rely on and just relax in is that we don't have to be troubled because there's a new place out there somewhere up there called heaven. And Jesus has prepared that. Now, it's very interesting how he begins to describe heaven. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place." The only other time that Jesus used that phrase, "my Father's house," was when he cleaned house at the temple. He said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." And isn't it interesting that in the midst of this conversation about him going away, and talking about this place that he's preparing in heaven, he brings up the Father's house. And by the way, the temple is right back here in the background in that setting as he's speaking to the disciples. How wonderful that Jesus would begin to describe heaven in this manner. "In my Father's house." My Father's house. There's a promise here that in the great home of the Father's house, there's a place prepared particularly for you. Now, Billy Walker's great at this in Bible study. He'll do a word study and he'll let you all find out what he found out about that word. Well, y'all know language changes. You do know that? And the word mansions means abiding places, rooms. In other words, in the Father's house, Jesus has prepared a bunch of rooms for his followers. And y'all, it's big enough, there's room enough for whoever wants to go. Revelation 21:16 tells us that heaven is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep. Have mercy. And I've been through the math with you all before, but if you do the math and if there's been 30 some odd billion people that have lived on this planet, everybody's room is 196 square miles. Wrap your head around that. He's preparing a place just for you. Look at somebody and tell them, "You ought to see my new home." Some of y'all are backslidden and you didn't say anything. He's preparing a home for you. And if you could see it, you'd say it. Don't you love that Mercy Me song, "I Can Only Imagine"? Heaven, well, I'm just a tad emotional this morning, but as I was thinking about these rooms, these places that are prepared for us, my mind went back to my father's house, my earthly father's house, on 19 Lacey Lane, where we grew up. And then later on Crestwood Drive. My sisters are watching today. And I want to tell you, my daddy's house, whoo, that was a place where I could go, where I was accepted for who I was. I could kind of let my hair down, and my hair didn't fall down, it just went out, you know. But it was a place where I could just be myself and enjoy the warmth and the love of my parents and my sisters, my family. It was a place where I could be provided for and protected. It was a place where I felt loved and cared for. And that's how Jesus is describing this prepared place. And by the way, He loves me much more, infinitely more than my mom and dad ever could. Think about that old song again, Andrew. Some of y'all remember, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My home's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. God's preparing a home, an abiding place. A room just for you. Just for you. And you know, some of you mamas and some of you daddies have prepared rooms for people in your home. How many of you remember the first child you had? Well, you got that room ready for that baby before that baby ever got here. And some of y'all prepared a room for a little girl. And you decorated that room like she was going to be somebody special. For a daughter, you know, you probably made the room just as bright and colorful and pretty as you could. Maybe if it was a boy, you prepared a room or decorated a room and you put all kinds of sports memorabilia in there and model cars or airplanes. And maybe some of you all have had to prepare a room for a grandmama. And you would have pictures in that room and her favorite books, whatever. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you more than any human being. Would He do any less in preparing these rooms for us? Whew. Words for troubled hearts. Truths for troubled hearts. We've got peace. We've got a place. And there's one final one here. God's people have a new promise. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The last truth, the last reason really we have for not having a troubled heart this morning or when we go through trouble is simply Jesus is returning again for those whom He left behind. And they will never be separated from Him again. I will come again. Say that with me. I will come again. Say it with me. I will come again. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is coming. He's coming. I said, He's coming. What a promise. He's coming for those who are His. Why? So we can be together forever. said forever. Hallelujah. This message was confirmed in two sister passages. And that's so good, I just got to share them with you. Acts chapter 1, these are the last words, the last encounter Jesus had before he went back to heaven with his disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, listen to this. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I'm telling you, we believe some wild stuff. They're watching the disciples. He's told them everything that they needed to do. And all of a sudden, gravity, the strongest force in the universe, is broken, relaxed, suspended. I don't know what. But he begins to rise and catches his ride on a cloud. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, that means look ahere. Two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. I will come again, he says. And then, whew, I read this one a lot at a graveside. This is fantastic. Whew. Listen to this. Just listen. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Cal! Come up here! I don't know what he's going to say, but that sounds good to me. Will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Well, devil, you thought you had him, but your plan didn't work. I don't know what the archangel is going to say either. And with the trumpet of God, Gabriel's licking his lips this morning. And brother, sister, when he toots, we're going to scoot. Look at verse 16, for the Lord, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. How? Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters, if you're in Christ, it's all going to be okay. And it's going to be better than okay. This is the blessed hope of the church today. He's coming again so that we might be where He is, with Him. And right now, He's putting the finishing touches on your place that He's made for you. Just for you. So we have His promise. I will come again. And the response of the church this morning ought to be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Troubled hearts? No. Expectant, anticipating hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We don't have anything to worry about. Not if you're in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, that's about all the honey I can get out of this Bible beehive today. But There's somebody here that needed to hear this morning, and maybe it was me. I just want to thank you that every child of God in this room can have peace if we'll trust in Him. And every child in this room, child of God, can look forward to a place that's being prepared right now just for them. God, we're going to make it, even with all these troubles that surround us, because of your Son's promise, I will come again, and we're going to be with Him forever. But Lord, if there's one or two or 10 or 20 here this morning that have not made those preparations to go to heaven, oh, I pray that heaven might get into them this morning. And if that would be your testimony, you're not sure if you're headed for heaven, you're not sure if you're following Christ or not, here's what I would do, right where you sit. I would pray a prayer something like this: Lord, I am a sinner. And I know my sins have separated me from you. And up to this point in time, I've lived my life really for me. But today, I believe that you paid the price for all my sin. And you got up from the grave offering eternal life. And I want to place my entire trust and faith, everything that I am, into everything that you are. And I call on you this morning to save my soul. Did you pray that way today? Did you pray something like that this morning? Did you? Really, for the first and only time that you need to do that, if you really meant business with God, if you did that this morning, man, I want to shout with you. I want to give God glory with you. You can fill out one of our second mile marker cards in the back and let us know about your decision and place it in the bucket, or you can come up here where I am. I promise you, we'll rejoice. But there's no such thing as a private Christian. No Lone Ranger Christians in here. You need to take your stand for Christ today. After all, you trust Him, don't you? So I want to ask you to come. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe your family's in a troubled mess. Maybe there's some other issue and you need prayer. We're going to ask you to just step up. As Andrew leads us in singing, just come. That's what this altar's for. You come. Whatever God leads you to do today, you say yes to Jesus.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.